joining us on the line. We dive into the world of hockey, and it's all quiet, as we mentioned at the start of the show. Nothing's happening right now between the NHL and the Players Association, but let's try to get some answers from NHL senior writer from The Athletic, Mr. Scott Burnside, good friend of the show as well. Hey, Scotty, how are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. I wasn't sure whether I should use my inside voice or my outside voice for, you know, with the, because you're right, it's very quiet. What's that line from the All Quiet on the Western Front? It stinks so quiet. Anyway, you're right. It is very quiet.
Whatever's the case, it stinks right now. You know, Scott, you think back to when you and I used to travel covering lockouts together, you know, in years past, you know, where we would use the company dime to go, you know, drink a whole lot of beer at pubs in New York City waiting for these labor negotiations to wrap up in a different lifetime. I don't feel like it's quite as contentious as the time between the players and the owners to have that sort of disconnect where we saw seasons being canceled or having shortened seasons as a result. But, man, are we starting to get a little bit of a sense that maybe it is starting to go that way?
I think you're right. It's interesting. You think, you know, 2012 at this very time of the year, right? Like heading into the holiday season in 2012, and the first half more or less of the NHL season had already been, you know, swept aside by the last lockout in the NHL. And as we were just talking about in the house this morning, that in the past, all of these kinds of conversations were accompanied by a lot of sniping and a lot of, you know, laundry being aired in public and a lot of social media back and forth and people calling out the other side and a lot of anger, right? A lot of anger. And I think, to your point, what we're seeing here is, listen, at least I like to think that both sides, both the players and the owners, understand that this isn't the kind of historic labor discussion that we've had in the past. This is not the time for, you know, calling each other's names. And we, you know, what's the number in the United States now? 270,000 deaths from COVID-19. Every night on the news in the United States, we see miles long lineups for food banks. We understand the economic devastation that this pandemic has created in the United States and certainly around the world, and Canada, which I think, you know, by and large has done a nice job, but it's, you know, going through spikes from border to border. This is not the time to be complaining about, well, we need you to defer a little bit more of your multi-million dollar salary, or, you know, I'm the billionaire owner crying poor. I think there is an understanding that's the kind of discussion that optically is that the league can't have now. And so you balance that against the fact that I believe, and I think a lot of people that I've talked to in the game, whether it's been owners or players, I think there is a sense the game has to be played. If you can play it, if the coronavirus allows you to play games, you have to play them. And that if that means at some point, the players are going to have to defer an additional, let's call it an additional 10% on top of the 10% they've already agreed to defer. I think that will happen. And I think these things can happen very quickly. I know, you know, Pierre LeBrun was my good pal and colleague was tweeting this morning that the target still remains, you know, let's call it January 1st or early January to start. That gives you, now you play, what, between 50 and 60 games, somewhere in that neighborhood. That's the target. And the clock is really ticking on that. And that's why I'd like to think that by the end of this week, we'll have a lot more clarity on it. But to your point, there is a different feel about this, and there should be, because we're in a way different world than in previous labor disputes between the players and the NHL.
Well, back in those days, Scott, when everyone was talking about it in 05 and 13, I mean, the whole word was trust. We want to see their books. We don't believe what they're saying. I mean, it's pretty obvious. It's in front of everybody right now, and I can understand why the players are unhappy going, well, we did this 4 months ago. But the fact is, if we would have had you on 4 months ago, none of us would have predicted what December would look like as we get into this month because of what has happened with the virus. The fact that we can't get a lot of information, and I know with the American Thanksgiving last week, we didn't expect much, but I think it's a good thing. Like, you know, that, hey, there are all the insiders, but do you not think it's positive that they're going, listen, we can't have anything what happened with Major League Baseball. We're going to have to get really quiet on this like we did in the summertime, and no one leak anything here as we try and hammer this. Do you look at the quietness as maybe a positive?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is some of that. And I think, again, there is in some ways a template in place, right? I mean, and there are discussions going on at some levels. And you know that, at least my sense is, there have been discussions about what would training camp protocols look like. Are there areas where it would be, you have to, because the situation is so fluid. I mean, the Santa Clara is an excellent example in California, the home, you know, both the NFL 49ers and the San Jose Sharks. I mean, what will happen if they close down as they have or are in the process of doing all contact sports? What happens to the Sharks? I mean, those are things that the players in the league will have to work through. But there is a template, right? You've been through this. You've set up phase two in the summer for players returning and leading into a training camp and then going into the bubbles. We're not going to go into bubbles this time, but it's not like they're starting from, a complete blank slate when you're talking about, well, how will this work? So I think that part of it is, and the fact that there was tremendous cooperation and it was a tremendous success in terms of the bubble situation and getting the playoffs off. So I don't think you're wrong that, you know, that there is, you know, that we should read the tea leaves and say, well, they haven't, you know, it's very quiet. That bodes ill for the start of a season. I agree. I think these things can turn on a dime. I also know that we're at such a fluid situation in terms of the, you know, I think Anthony Fauci described it as an outbreak on top of an outbreak. It's not the right word, but that he used, but a surge on top of a surge in terms of the coronaviruses. And who knows what happens after American Thanksgiving? You know, the next couple of weeks could be even worse than we've imagined. But we also know that the virus is going to be distributed and is being distributed as we speak. It's going to be made available to, or the vaccine rather, is going to be made available to frontline workers in a matter of days if the FDA approves emergency use, which is expected. So we have these two sort of tracks where it's as bleak as it's ever been, but there is also this notion, geez, are we getting to a point now where we're going to get vaccine in front of people who really need them the most and then see what happens from there? So it is, you know, it's very fluid, and you know, obviously hockey is such a small, you know, cog or piece in the machinery, but I do think it can change very quickly, but it has to change, I would think, in a matter of days if we are going to see hockey on anything approaching the timeline that the players in the league are targeting.
It's kind of like being stuck in a towering inferno begging for help, and Superman has arrived on the scene, but he's just chosen to help like 200 other people out get out of the building before you. Like, I'm up here! Help! Come on! We're almost there! In that sort of sense, Scott, you look at how the numbers are spiking. You look at what the NFL is dealing with right now, college football. You know, the NBA is opening training camps today. And I wonder, like, does that force the NHL to say, man, we got to get going here. Like, there's some pressure here to do this. Or are they looking at what's happening in the NFL and saying, you know what, maybe slow playing this is the answer again because it worked pretty well in the summer?
Yeah, I think there might be a little bit of both, frankly. And you know, the NBA, it's a different animal. It's TV. Revenues are completely different than the NHL, you know, and especially having gone through a return to play where there were no fans anywhere in NHL buildings, and we're not looking at having fans in NHL buildings likely to start. And in some areas, you may not be able to get fans in your building for an entire 48-game season, if, let's call it that. Other areas, you know, it changes from state to state on what might happen. But really, what we were probably talking about at best case is, what, 25% capacity, and we're not looking at a vaccine being rolled out, you know, in full to a general public probably until late spring, early summer, best case scenario, all those kinds of things. So, you know, sometimes it's like apples and oranges, but I do think big picture, when you see that all the leagues and whatever missteps there have been, and baseball early on, but, you know, there are plans to return to spring training coming up. We know the NFL, lots of, you know, one step up, two steps back, but continuing to move forward. NBA going back to training camp. I don't think there's a scenario that where for the overall health of the league that you can just shutter your doors until next fall and say, well, let's pick it up when Seattle comes in at number 32 in the league, and we'll pick it up in the fall of 21, and hopefully things are more or less back to normal. I don't think that's an option with television deals, both national and regional. I just think it puts the economic impact would be so great, even though there are some NHL teams who might prefer not to play at all, given the economic landscape. I do think the health of the league as overall, it necessitates playing, and that's why I do think that we can see something happening sooner than later, because the pressures are big for this league to play some sort of season, call it 2021. It may actually, it's only going to be 21, but I think there is a significant amount of pressure for the league to have some sort of season that leads then hopefully into a return to a normal schedule in 21-22, Olympics, all those things. But you got to take care of this business at hand first.
And when they do, and when you have a three-hour talk show, Scott, we always bring up poll questions. A lot of time we're going back in history. Here's ours today. Before we let you go, we'll give you the vote. I'm sure I know where you're going with it. I'm basing on the fact that that two-point conversion by the Eagles last night kind of killed a lot of people in sports in the betting world. So we decided who's the best duo that the Canucks have had. Our options for you, Bertuzzi, Naslin, Burry, Mogilny, the current version of Pettersson and Hughes, or Henrik and Daniel Sedin. Where would you vote with your hockey history around this team?
Ooh, and that's a great question, because the options are, I mean, those are tremendous options. I got to go with the Sedins. And that's sort of a heart thing. And that's, and having covered them, not closely over the years, but closely enough that, not just what they did in the ice, which was unbelievable, but to me, it is what they meant to that franchise and their leadership and their commitment to the community. So I have no hesitation in casting my ballot for the Sedins. What I know there's no right or wrong answer here, but this is the right answer, actually. So there you go. That's my vote.
All right. Well played. Stay safe out there. Nice to catch up with you, sir. And we will do this, I'm sure, again, hopefully when there's maybe a dropping of the puck at some point. That'd be nice to just talk about hockey as opposed to escrow and concessions and finances all the time.
I'm all for that. Yeah, I'm all for that call. Let me call it, as soon as it happens, let me know.
Done and done. You take care, sir.
Thanks, Scott.
Okay, take care.